Well, tonight is our final installment of our series, Vital Signs, Embracing Spiritual Health. We've been marching through the book of 1 Thessalonians together week by week as we've been exploring God's Word and exposing the Word of God, speaking and preaching expositionally. We are drawing from the Word of God what God is saying to us through 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Came across a statistic a few years ago that for me was rather startling, that 50% of seminary graduates are out of the ministry within 10 years. 50% of seminary graduates are out of the ministry within 10 years. That is a startling statistic. When I study the Word of God and I study how you are to walk with God, one thing God values is finishing strong. Maybe you've heard the phrase, it's not how you start, it's how you finish. God is all about the finish line. And God's heartbeat for us is that we finish strong. I love Hebrews chapter 11. We call it the hall of faith, the hall of faith, where it just features the great men and women of God who served God faithfully, who walked with God, who were obedient to God, who yielded their lives to God. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13, one of my favorite verses was where the Bible says they were still living by faith when they died. In other words, they finished strong. And tonight, as we look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul writing this very personal and intimate letter to the church at Thessalonica, the new believers, trying to help them grow in the Lord and to preserve the integrity of their faith, is very prolific in his writing about finishing strong. So let's look at that together. And tonight, I want to give you four essentials to finishing strong. I believe it is God's will for you to finish strong. I believe it's God's will for me to finish strong. I believe that every child of God is to be in the center of God's will, and being in the center of God's will includes finishing strong. Four essentials to finishing strong. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning in verse 16, and when you're there, would you just tell me, amen. That lets me know you're there. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Look with me at verses 16, 17, and 18. Let's start there. Be joyful always. Pray continually. King James Version says, pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. If someone were to come up to you and say, if I only knew God's will, let them read those three verses, because this is God's will for you. Number one, practice spiritual discipline. Practice spiritual discipline. The Christian life is a discipline. The Christian life is not monthly or weekly, but as Jesus describes it, it is what? Daily. If you're to come after me, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me daily. It is a daily spiritual discipline. Here's the first action step. Be joyful. Be joyful. Paul is saying here to the church at Thessalonica, be joyful always. Rejoice. I love what Dr. Adrian Rogers says about rejoice before he went to heaven. He said, rejoice is a choice. Paul is saying, be joyful. Rejoice always. And remember, joy is not connected to your circumstances. That's happiness. Happiness is determined by your happenstance. If conditions are right, if everything's in place, then I will be happy. That's not what joy says. Joy is not connected to circumstances. Joy is that whether you're on the mountaintop or in the valley, where it's a sunshine day or a cloudy day. It doesn't matter what the terrain or what the turbulence or what the adversity is. Joy is not connected to circumstances. The joy of the Lord is my what? Strength. So Paul is saying, be joyful. Rejoice is a choice. You may want to write down Philippians 4:4. You know this one. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, Paul says, rejoice. I remember our first few months here, Dr. Fleming was preaching through the book of Philippians. And when he got to chapter 4, verse 4, he was rocking and rolling about rejoicing in the Lord. And then Romans 12 and 12, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. And if you are in Christ, you have the hope of glory living inside of you. Be joyful in hope. The hope of Jesus Christ fuels us, motivates us, stirs us, and we have every right to be joyful regardless of the circumstances. The second action step, not only be joyful, be prayerful. Be prayerful. We pick up in verse 17 where Paul says, pray continually. As I said a moment ago in the King James Version, pray without ceasing. In the language of the New Testament, it literally means continuous fellowship. It means ongoing conversation, unhindered, uninterrupted, unbroken communion with God. Ephesians 6:18, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Colossians 4:2, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, which brings us to our third action step. Be thankful. Notice how Paul packages this in verse 18. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. It is God's will that every believer be thankful. Now let me ask you this. Do we have anything to be thankful for? You may be having a bad day and thinking that everything is down in your life. I can assure you, you can find somebody on this planet who's less fortunate than we are. You can find somebody on this planet who's in a much deeper, darker place than you may be in right now. Regardless of where you are in your circumstance or situation, and you're going to have bad days, you're going to have difficult times. We live in a fallen world. What Paul is saying is always be thankful. If you'll just start thanking God for all that He is and all that He's done, what you'll notice is your joy will be restored. Because you'll take your focus off of yourself and your situation, and you'll put your focus on God and how awesome and faithful and mighty and gracious and compassionate and tender He is, that He is Jehovah Nissi, the Lord our victory banner, that He's Jehovah Jireh, the Lord our provider, He's Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our healer, and before long, you'll start shouting before God, thanksgiving. And that wonderful joy that has been suppressed in your life will come back. Philippians 4:6, don't be anxious about anything. Don't worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer, petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Here's the second essential to finishing strong. And we believe it's God's will that we finish strong. Write down number two, preserve spiritual discernment. Preserve spiritual discernment. Yes, we need spiritual discipline, but we also need spiritual discernment. We pick up in verse 19. Notice the phraseology here. Notice the action-packed verses. Do not, that's a negative, do not put out the Spirit's fire. What I want to ask you to write down, the first action step is be cautious. Be cautious. When we're dealing with the things of God, when you're walking with the Lord, walking in the Spirit, do not put out the Spirit's fire. I remember when Tori and Austin were very young, I was washing the car, and I was on the other side washing the rims and kind of kneeling down and scrubbing the white letters on the tires, and I was spraying it off, and all of a sudden, the pressure went limp. And the water just started dribbling out. So I got up and walked around. I had the nozzle in my hand and walked back and looked, and Tori and Austin behind the car, they had kinked the hose. And they thought it was funny till I pointed it at them. And they started running, which made them release it. And guess what happened? Got my pressure back and I soaked them. What does it mean to grieve the Spirit? What does it mean to quench the Spirit? It means to kink the hose. And your body is the hose. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And when you allow sin to come into your life at any level, it kinks the flow of the Spirit. It grieves the Spirit. When you think about what is it that would grieve the Spirit, what is it that would put out the Spirit's fire, what is it that would smother the Spirit? Anything that breaks the heart of God quenches the Spirit of God. Whatever God hates, that will quench the Spirit. Whatever brings God dishonor, that will quench the Spirit. Anything that does not bring glory and honor to God will grieve and quench the Holy Spirit living in you. So Paul says, do not put out the Spirit's fire. In other words, be cautious. Ephesians 4:30, we see that concept used where the Bible says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. So be cautious. The second action step, be courteous. Be courteous. Now you have to write that one down. It may need to look on the screen. The word's a little bit more difficult. Courteous. Be courteous. Look at verse 20. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Now here Paul is talking about the revelation of God. Of course, when Paul is writing this in the church at Thessalonica, when they receive his letter, the New Testament canon, of course, has not been completed. So they're receiving revelation from God through Paul. Whenever one of the apostles would speak forth the word of God, that was prophecy. That was them unveiling God's word. That was them revealing the word of God. So Paul is saying, don't treat prophecies with contempt. In other words, don't dishonor it. Hold it in high regard. Hold it in high esteem. And for us, of course, the word of God has been completed. The canonization of Scripture has been closed. We have the full revelation of God. We are blessed beyond measure. In fact, many of us have more than one copy of the Bible. How many of you have more than one copy? We're so blessed and enriched by God's word. So the application for us is to be courteous, to handle God's word with respect and dignity, that we study the word of God and we make sure that what we believe lines up with the word of God, that we hold it in high esteem and high regard. And it's not enough to believe. Our belief must be translated into our behavior that honors God. Be courteous. Be courteous. And then be conscientious. Verses 21 and 22, be conscientious. Paul says, test everything. Hold on to the good. In other words, test for authenticity. Test to make sure that what you're hearing in community, what you are hearing by the word of God and by the preachers of God, the men of God, as you are hearing the word of God, as you read and what others are saying about God's word, as you are reading that, test it. Test it. Make sure that it is authentic. Make sure that what is being spoken, what is being written, what is being revealed, even in our modern context, make sure that it lines up with the truth of the word of God. In 1 John 4:1, dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. But many false prophets have gone out into the world. Jesus in Matthew 7 talked about bad tree produces bad fruit. A good tree produces good fruit. Then he says, you shall recognize them, speaking of false teachers, by their what? Fruit. So our fruit gives evidence to our salvation. If you are filled with the Spirit of God, he will reveal his fruit. Everybody with me? Hebrews 10, 23, where Paul says in verse 21 here of our chapter 5, hold on to the good. Wonderful cross reference in Hebrews 10, 23. Let us hold unswervingly. Continue to do good. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. So not only do we test everything, but we sift through that and find the accurate, authentic word of God, and then we hold on to it. It means to give yourself to that. It means to adhere to it. Allow that to take root in your life. So I'm not to apply my life to the word of God. I take the word of God, and it is applied to my life so that my life reflects the word of God. I don't go to the Word of God with my life and say, now, let me get the Bible to line up with me. That is improper. Then I'm putting my experience above the revelation of God. And the revelation of God is to supersede my experience. Thereby, I test all of my experiences, all of my beliefs and my understandings by the truth of the Word of God. So the Word of God is not the thermometer reflecting me, the thermostat. I'm the thermometer reflecting the Word of God, which is the thermostat. So the Word of God dictates my beliefs and my behavior. The Word of God dictates my conduct. The Word of God dictates my conversation. And praise God, the Word of God dictates my character. So test everything. And hold on to the good. Be conscientious. Look at verse 22. Avoid every kind of evil. Paul is saying to the young believers there in Thessalonica, yes, you're saved. You're filled with the Spirit. You're trying to learn to walk in the Spirit. You're trying to be obedient to God. But you are not placed in the lily of the valley of the lilies, or the lily of the valley. This is not going to be a bed of roses. You're trying to be Christian in a culture that hates God. You're trying to be Christian in an environment that is against Jesus. You're going against the grain. You're going to have to be conscientious to avoid every kind of evil. You say, but yeah, but that was Bible times. It was different then. Sin was just as available and prevalent in Bible times as it is today. It's just today more sophisticated. You don't have to go far. It will find you. You don't have to go to Las Vegas. Vegas will come looking for you. So avoid every kind of evil. What Paul is saying is don't live your life on the edge to see how close you can get and not fall into sin. Well, I'm safe. Does that look safe to you? Paul is saying, avoid every kind of sin. Don't go near it. Avoid even the appearance of evil. Stay far from it. Be conscientious. You think we need this in our world today? Be conscientious. Our third essential, prove God's faithfulness. Prove God's faithfulness. I love how Paul just ministers to the body right here. When he says in verse 23, may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. Now here's your action word. Be sanctified. Now remember, when you got saved, when you placed your faith in the completed work of Jesus on the cross, you were justified. Remember that? It's just if I'd never sinned. I'm clean before God. You've heard Pastor David say that salvation is an event followed by process. Salvation, I'm justified, it's just if I'd never sinned. Now I'm in the process of sanctification. I am now in the process of becoming who I already am in Jesus. I'm now on a path of spiritual growth and maturity. I'm in process. I'm on the assembly line where God is chipping off everything in me that is not Jesus. But positionally, I'm sanctified. I'm made right before God. If I were to die tonight while preaching this message, I would take my last breath on this stage and I would take my first breath of celestial air in heaven instantly. I'm fit for heaven, sanctified positionally, but practically, I am being sanctified. Practically, what God has done on the inside, the salvation that He's worked in, I've got to work out what He's worked in. You with me? I'm working out what God has worked in. I am practically living out what God is working inside of me so that what's on the outside will more and more reflect what God has already done on the inside. Have you ever said to somebody, I know what you see, but if you only knew my heart. What the Bible teaches is let what's on the inside be portrayed on the outside. Sanctified positionally, now make that known practically on the outside. Be sanctified. And then our next action step, be blameless. May God Himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Be sanctified, be blameless. Third, be yielded. Be yielded. Be yielded. Verse 24, I love this. This ought to minister in the house. The one who calls you is faithful. Would you say that with me? The one who calls you is faithful. The one who drew you into salvation, the one who saved you, the one who sanctified you, the one who is developing you and growing you and building you into the man or woman of God He created you to be, that one, God, is faithful. And then Paul says, and He will do it. And you thought Nike came up with that, just do it. That's God's idea. That God is faithful to do it. Do what? He who began a good work in me will bring it to completion. What you'll learn about God is what God starts, God finishes. What you'll learn about God is when things don't line up, do not make sense, there's no way God's going to bring something triumphant out of this tragedy, then God puts in your spirit, Romans 8:28. And we know that in all things, God works. Who works? God works for the good of those who love Him and who have been called according to His purpose. Be yielded. 2 Peter 1:3, His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. So prove God's faithfulness. And then finally, project brotherly love. Project brotherly love. Do you want to finish strong? Prove God's faithfulness. Do you want to finish strong? Project brotherly love. This is how we're to treat each other. This is how we are to do life together. First of all, be affirming. Affirmation. Be affirming. Verse 25. Brothers, pray for us. And in the language of the New Testament, it is brothers, continually pray for us. Paul uses this word brothers 15 times in 1 Thessalonians. He is serious about the family of faith, that we have been adopted into God's family and we belong to each other. And when you're up, I may be down, and you're to bear my burdens. You're to bring me up. Whenever I'm up and you're down, I'm to bring you up. I'm to bear your burdens. We're to do life together. We're to be unified. We're to be pointing in the same direction. We're to be unified in doctrine and in practice and in holiness and in righteousness. We're to be together in that. And you're my brother and you're my sister, and I need you. And you need me. We need each other. We're family. In fact, we're part of God's forever family. So Paul says, brothers, family members, continually pray for us. Be affirming. Then he says, greet all the brothers with a holy kiss. And we've baptized that in the Baptist church. We greet each other with a holy hug or a holy handshake. And during the swine flu season, with a holy pat on the shoulder. Don't shake my hand. But in Paul's day, the greeting was a kiss on either side of the cheek, just a sign of affirmation that I'm for you and I recognize your value. You're important to me. So there is this affirmation. And then be catalytic. Be catalytic. I'm going to give you one of our staff meeting words. Catalytic. We're real big about, hey, is this going to be catalytic? Now, I'm not talking about a catalytic converter you have on your car. What we mean is, if we do this event, will this launch people on mission with God? If we embrace this activity, will it be catalytic? Will it propel people to the next level in their walk with God? And so what Paul is saying here, though he didn't use catalytic, he's saying help people go to the next level. Encourage them to go forward by sharing God's word. Look at verse 27. I charge you before the Lord to have this letter read to all the brothers. What Paul is saying is, I have revelation from God. I'm sharing it with you. Now be catalytic. Don't just read the letter personally and say, wow, that blessed me, that touches me. I want to give my life to this. What he's saying is, go beyond yourself. Be catalytic. Share what God has spoken into your life with other people. Don't just receive the good news and the revelation of God and what God's showing you. Release it. Spread it. As Wallace Perry shared his personal testimony a moment ago about his daughter Jennifer receiving that bad news initially, and she was rushed to the hospital, and how God worked in their lives and their family to bring healing to her life. And he didn't tell us about it. He took us there. Did you feel it? And what they went through is he and Doris got on their knees and they read scripture and they prayed before God and they gave their daughter to God. They entrusted her to God's care. They were being catalytic tonight, because they took their experience with God and they shared it with us. Now we've been blessed by their experience with God. And he spoke the word of God. So Wallace, thank you for being catalytic. So Doris, when you kiss him goodnight tonight, you say, honey, you're so catalytic. And then finally, be grace-filled. Grace-filled. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. That's what Paul says. Do you know what the last verse in our Bible says? Revelation chapter 22, verse 21. The last verse in the Bible says, the grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed the message today and that it'll be a source of encouragement to you this week. We desire to help people make sense out of life through Christ-centered living. It all begins with a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10 that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Have you placed your trust in Christ? Well, no one can get to heaven by being good enough. We all have to trust Jesus Christ alone for forgiveness of sin and a home in heaven. For more information on this unique life in Christ, as well as more information on Champion Forest Baptist Church, we invite you to go to our website at championforest.org.